Today on the Al and Josh Show, we get a chance to chat with Adam Aho, who is in his seventh season as a skipper of the University of Mary. Coach Aho joined the UMary staff after serving two seasons at Minnesota State Mankato. While at Minnesota State, Aho worked with Hall of Fame coaches Jim Makovsky and Mike Nemechek. During his tenure at MSU, he coached four All-Americans and six All-Conference wrestlers. The Mavericks finished eighth at the NCAA D2 National Championship in 2012 and 13, after placing 23rd in the 11-12 season. As a student athlete, Aho was a four-year starter at North Dakota State University, graduating in 2009. He served as a team captain his senior season. During his prep career at Frazee High School, Aho won a state championship in 2004 and placed a total of three times at the Minnesota State Tournament, competing for the Frazee Hornets. Well, Coach, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure and an honor.
You know, we keep hearing that. So we've kind of do a little backstory here. With the downtime in wrestling right now, one of our fans slash producer, my co-host Al Venz's wife, Jen, strongly encouraged us and basically set most of these interviews up for us to just get a chance to talk recruiting. And we have a little D1 flavor, Division I flavor, Division II now with you, Division III with Coach Musloff, and the Service Academy with Sam Barber. So basically, the outline for the show is just kind of to talk recruiting and let kids and their parents know, you know, what's out there, what's available, and, you know, some of your experiences with recruiting and what you're looking for and, you know, the type of kid and, you know, a common theme is maybe even the type of family.
Yeah, no, those are great questions. You know, it's kind of tough to, everybody always asks me, hey, what are you looking for when you recruit somebody? And every kid, you know, now that I'm in my, I'm just finishing up my seventh year here now. Jeez, it's crazy. You know, the biggest thing is I'm trying to recruit kids now that I kind of enjoy to be around, quite frankly, and that are like-minded individuals. And also, you kind of hit on the same point as far as kids that are motivated, kids that like wrestling, that are coachable. That's probably one of the biggest things. And then kids that just work hard. You know, we've had kids come into our program that, you know, I didn't know that, you know, at the very beginning, boy, they had a long, I mean, as far as their skill set goes, I mean, I knew they were going to have a long ways to go, but because of their work ethic and dedication, my goodness, I mean, they blossomed and they earned their way into a starting lineup and were huge contributing factors to our program. And because of that work ethic, they helped develop our culture. And because of they weren't talented, they knew all the extra workouts that they were going to have to do were meaningful. And so I guess, I mean, it's kind of a long-winded answer there for you, but I mean, that really kind of goes into it. But if, you know, a lot of times when I say, if I have to identify a couple things that I really look forward to is a kid that's just, you know, that's really genuine, that's respectful, works hard, is coachable, and is a good teammate. And those are, you know, those are really important to me.
And that's pretty right on pace with the other coaches we've talked to. How about this, Coach? How would you say recruiting has changed throughout your career so far?
Well, I guess, you know, with the social media, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I'm still relatively young. At least I think I am anyway. I don't feel young when I wrestle anymore, but, but in the grand scheme of things, it's as far as just our social media has really helped us, you know, showing kids, we try to show them, through social media, through videos, through, you know, Twitter, text, or however you want to look at it. We want to try to give them an in-person perspective of our program the best we possibly can. Because what that allows us to do is if a kid follows us on social media and really enjoys our videos, enjoys our interactions that we have with our current student athletes, if they find that attractive, that helps eliminating kids right away out the gate that really don't see themselves being part of University of Mary itself. And that's really helped me, I guess, because at the beginning of my, my process, when I started out here at the University of Mary, I took over at the program when there were 7 kids on the returning roster. And so I recruited basically anybody and everybody. And it was a challenging because those kids really didn't know who I was. They didn't know any of the guys on the team because they didn't have that, look from a distance kind of feel. To kind of have that first initial like attraction to the university or the program. And so I would say in a long-winded answer, the social media has really helped evolve our recruiting and really helped it not make it easy by any means, but it's made it a little simpler in our attracting certain kids, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. That's a great way of saying it. So you, when you took over, you said there were 7 returning wrestlers on the roster. What's your roster size at now?
Oh goodness. I think right now for next year, we're going to be at anywhere from, I'm hoping to be at 32 to 34 ish in that area. So yeah, it's been a huge growth. Here. I mean, every year it's, you have some guys that, especially my first few years, we've recruited, like I said, anybody and everybody. And no offense to some of the earlier kids that we had in the program, but, they came in and they worked extremely hard. But, as far as the competitive level against Division II wrestling, they might quite weren't there. And those kids, I feel bad for them because we had to throw them in the lineup. When in all reality, they should have probably been, sitting on the bench and watching and learning and developing for a couple of years. And so I feel like because of that experience, some of those kids, called it quits sooner than what they should have, in my opinion. It's been a growth process majorly. I mean, it's been just one of those things that I thought, I was probably a little cocky when I took the job here. I thought, man, I'm going to be in 4 or 5 years. We're going to be competing for a national title and doing all this stuff. But, I didn't realize how much really goes into building a program, especially building the culture of the program, doing it the right way. The academic side for the kids. I didn't realize how much babysitting I'd have to do sometimes. Stuff like that was really challenging, but I've been so blessed in being in the role I am. I mean, I love going to work every single day. There's not a day I wake up and go, man, maybe I should do something else. That's for dang sure.
That's awesome when it works out like that. You mentioned the word challenge and talking about just kids and academics. And what are some of the challenges that come with recruiting at the University of Mary?
Well, I mean, since we are a private Catholic university, that kind of goes along with our social media. What's helped is, we don't want to shy away from that we are a private Catholic university because, if a kid has no interest at all in attending a university that is private and is a faith-based institution such as Catholic, we don't want, if they have no desire to do that, then there's no reason for us to go after them and convince them to do something they don't want to do, because I don't want to sit there and continually recruit a kid to stay here and convince them to be happy when in reality they really don't have the desire to be here. That's been one of the challenges right away. I didn't realize. I just recruited everybody, regardless of the fit for the university itself. And so now that we've been trying to make sure and to educate the kids, not only on our program, but on the university itself, to make sure that they knew that this was going to be a good fit all around, to get a quality education in the whole process as well. And so at the beginnings of my, you know, earlier years, you know, I didn't really talk to coaches far as much as their academic side, how much work they had to babysit the guys in their high school academics. You know, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have recruited some of the guys, because obviously the University of Mary, you know, they hold their academics to a high standard. It's not an easy institution. And so they definitely make these kids earn their degrees here, which is good. You know what I mean? But as far as the help that the university provides to these kids, oh my gosh. And it is unbelievable. I mean, these kids, no offense to, and I don't want to say this the wrong way, and I tell kids this all the time. If you fail, you tried to fail because of the help that they provide. I mean, you truly did not care. And because I came from a small high school in Minnesota, you know, I graduated with 100 people, and this is, you know, I refer to the University of Mary as a larger high school. You know, that's the feel I get when I'm walking around campus, because everybody knows everybody. You know, if you are a stud athlete, you are going to be known. And it's a really cool feeling to be on our campus, to have that walking around and professors talking to you. You have that interaction like that all the time. And so that's what I mean by, if you fail here, it's you tried to fail. Like, you didn't put in the effort or anything, because these professors, they want you to be successful. We have like a 98 or 99% job placement rate after graduation, which is unbelievable. And it's truly because of the professors trying to make sure that they are prepared for that next step in life. So, again, long-winded answer for you. I apologize.
No, this is the content we're looking for, Coach. That's perfect. You mentioned that, during that answer, you said when you first started coaching, you were recruiting everybody and anybody. So how do you find wrestlers to recruit now?
A lot of them come through connections, honestly. You know, people that know me, you know, previous, what's really helped me is coaches that are kids that wrestle for me now. You know, they'll make recommendations because they know who I am now. You know, once they're in the room, they've been around me for a whole year. They know their buddies, you know, back in their areas. And they're like, man, this guy would really like you as a coach. You know, so that makes it way easier in that initial recruiting process when we're going off of connections. But also, like, you know, current wrestlers that I have now, they're high school coaches. They contact me and say, hey, so-and-so is having a great experience there. I really think you should recruit, you know, there's one of my other guys at the high school. And or, you know, then they'll also talk about, you know, kids in the surrounding area. So that's really, I mean, obviously there's no doubt I'm going through the rankings. I'm going through state brackets. I'm doing all the same stuff that, we do every single year, but I do not like mass recruiting. I hate it. You know, I don't want to send out 1,000 emails or 1,000 letters to kids that every state place winner in Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota, because I don't want to get trapped into a situation where I walk into a tournament and a kid walks up to me, hey, thanks for the letter, coach. And I'm going to go, holy cats, I don't know who you are. I don't want to be that guy. Right.
Yeah.
So my personal, feeling on this is, like, I want to make sure that, you know, when I develop, when I start talking to a kid, it's meaningful, because I don't want it to be like a mass communication with 1,000 kids. That is not who I am. I want to make sure every communication I have is meaningful, and that kid gets my undivided attention. And so I go off of a lot of that. And then once we're talking to kids, you know, then we're, you know, just as much as that kid is trying to figure out if I'm the right fit for him to be his coach, conversely, I'm trying to figure out if that kid's the right fit for our program. You know, as much as these kids, you know, we're trying to, the kids have a lot of power in the recruiting process, and they don't realize it all the time. Especially, you know, the good ones. because, you know, we're always constantly on the phone. We're chasing them down. It's just like trying to date a girl that's probably out of your league. You know what I mean? Like if I'm a six and I'm trying to date my wife, who's an eight or a nine. Yes. And, you know, like I got to make sure I'm doing all the right things.
I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. That's an analogy I can relate to.
So that's kind of how, you know, I look at the whole process is, you know, we try to make it meaningful and not like casting a large net out. And because, like I said, I can't stress this enough. I never want to be put in that position where I'm walking into a tournament and a kid comes up to me, hey, thanks for the email, coach. Thanks for the letter. And I don't know who they are. That is, that just gives me anxiety thinking about it. So I may, you know, unfortunately, I probably miss some kids because I don't do that and reach out to them, because then kids are like, well, coach didn't want me. He, you know, he didn't reach out to me. He didn't send me one of those generic, you know, postcards in the mail or letters that has this computer signature on there, or, you know, but, you know, at the end of the day, I want to make sure that, you know, if we talk to a kid, it's because we've actually went out and identified kids through connections. And if a kid's a good fit for us, we'll find them.
Perfect. Okay. That, how about this? You know, we're talking about Fargo a little bit earlier today, and, you know, there's what kind of stock do you put in recruiting at Fargo or tournaments like Fargo? And, you know, whether or not we're going to get to, you know, probably not going to have Fargo this year, right? But, yep. Yeah, what kind of stock does Fargo play in your recruiting in the summertime?
Well, I mean, what I like about Fargo is that it just shows me that these kids want to wrestle, you know, whether they place or not. I mean, obviously, like if a kid goes out there and places, I mean, they have to be good, right? But what I like to see is a kid that's, you know, making that dedication in the summertime when he could be doing other things. You know, he could be going to the beach. He could be hanging out with buddies. He could be chasing his girlfriend around town. You know, if he's making that sacrifice and dedication to train and to go out and wrestle, especially in Fargo, it seems like every summer it's the hottest summer of the year up in Fargo. And to go through that process, and to, you know, some of those kids are staying in some of those, you know, the dorms at NDSU, and, you know, going through all that just to wrestle, man, that tells us a lot as far as their dedication to the sport. And I'll tell you this, like, my best kids that I've coached, you know, they truly have a desire to improve and get better on a consistent basis. And so that just tells me, like Fargo or junior duels or cadet duels or whatever, that just tells me that they want to wrestle and they want to get better. Because at the end of the day, that's kind of how I always tell my guys. I go, when anybody comes into our program, I, you know, everybody's got different ceilings potential, I should say, based off of what their high school seasons have been like and their, you know, their careers up to that point. You know, obviously we get it wrong, you know, as far as our assessment of what their potential is sometimes, but, you know, we want to make sure that, we're evaluating those guys on their potential and on their improvement, period. You know, not necessarily on, you know, static results. We want to make sure that we see improvement in little things that we critique on these kids every time they step on the mat, you know, and we don't want to overwhelm them on those improvement details. But to answer your question about the stock of, you know, Fargo, it's just nice to see kids wanting to wrestle is probably the simplest answer I could give you.
Go to Fargo, North Dakota in July and wrestle. I mean, that.
Yes. You can't go tubing down the Red River, I'll tell you that.
That's a great answer. I mean, and pretty consistent what we've heard from other coaches as well. Like, you know, they're just looking for that desire or the love for it, you know. I want to tie this next question to that a little bit. You know, what are your thoughts on kids committing early, you know, like – sophomores, for example.
Oh gosh. But be honest with you, like my knee-jerk reaction, I think it's the dumbest thing ever, personally. I don't know how they do it, be honest with you. It just gives me anxiety because, you know, I have two boys right now. They're going to be 8 and 6 in July, right? And if they were to tell me their sophomore year, like I know my freshmen that come in, shoot, they don't know what major they want to go into half the time, let alone choosing a university as a sophomore. Like that to me, in my opinion, is the craziest thing that happens. I mean, look at how many, again, there's been high profile guys that have committed different places and then they decommit and they go somewhere else. And like, what did you expect? Like, how did you, I don't know. It just kind of like, to me, you know, if I put myself in perspective, I didn't know what I was doing going into my senior year in high school. Shoot, I almost went and played baseball instead of wrestled. And so it's just like, these kids are so immature sometimes. I mean, granted, there are exceptions. And I'm not saying that, you know, some kids aren't mature enough to make those decisions. And hats off to them. But I don't think it should be all the rage to go and make a decision and get this process over soon. Because I'll tell you again, like I said earlier on, these kids have way more power in the recruiting process than they give themselves credit for. And it's their decision. And we want to make sure, like for me, and I get burned on this from time to time, no doubt about it. But I hate like pressuring kids into making a decision before they want to. Like, I want to make sure that if a kid comes here to wrestle for me at the University of Mary, they felt like it was the best decision they've made, no matter what. And I've lost kids because I didn't tell them that they had, you know, 2 weeks to make a decision. They need to make it by this point. And I say, hey, you know, when you feel it's right, you can call me and let me know. And again, I've lost kids because somebody else came in, gave them a better offer, whatever it was. But I'll tell you this, out of a lot of those kids that we've lost because of those situations, I saw them down the road and I'd probably say 60-70% of those kids said they wish they'd have still came and wrestled for me. So it's like at the end of the day, these kids, they need to mature and really, really, truly, maturely look at the decision that they're making and make sure it's right in all aspects of their life and not just wrestling, not just in one aspect of their life at that time.
Yeah, very, very consistent response. You know, most of the coaches have said the same thing, or I think all they're just not big fans of early commits, and admittedly there's exceptions to every rule and it's a right thing for a few people here and there, but for the most part, you know, everybody's echoed your words and said, take your time, look at your options and try to make a good, strong decision when you're just a little more mature and aware of the options as opposed to jumping in because it seems like a cool thing to do on Twitter.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
My next question is supposed to be, you know, what kind of advice could you give to parents and wrestlers? But you just gave a pretty big nugget right there. But if we could maybe elaborate on that a little bit, you know, just anything to, you know, because like I say, most of our listeners are parents of high school wrestlers, and there's probably a few high school wrestlers that actually listen to us. But just any advice for parents and wrestlers about the recruiting process and, you know, maybe finding the right fit academically?
Yeah. You know, the biggest thing is I would talk to parents of current wrestlers on that college athletics team. You know, that's the biggest thing. And because the parents, you know, just like anything, these kids, my wrestlers, for example, every one of us, they talk to their parents, right? They tell them the ins and outs of what's going on, of the program and the university on a daily basis. So my biggest thing is if you have any sort of relationships or connections with parents of current wrestlers of that institution that you're looking at, talk to them.
Yeah.
They're going to give you the best insight out of anybody. More times than not. Obviously, there are exceptions where, you know, and I hate to say this, but there are some times where the kid may not feel like he's getting treated fairly and whatever. You know, he may complain of whatever, all these situations. You guys probably understand what I'm kind of talking about. But that's probably one of the easiest ways because, you know, as far as the experience those kids go through, they're going to relay that message to the parents and also to other coaches that of those kids. So if you have any connections with high school coaches of current student athletes at a wrestling program in college, talk to those coaches because they're going to know from those high school kids that are, or excuse me, the wrestlers that are wrestling in college, they're going to know what kind of relationships and or what the program's like, because they're going to talk to their high school coaches too. And then find out the homework on the coach. You know, as far as I always tell parents, I tell parents all the time, you know, do your homework on me. You know, as far as my character, who I am, talk to anybody you know about me, because you know, if a kid has a good relationship with the head coach, then it'll make their college experience way more enjoyable. If a kid does not like me or doesn't see things how I do, don't come and wrestle for me because it's going to be miserable. Right. You got to make sure you understand who I am and what my ideals are and how I operate, because if I do those things, then my assistants are going to follow the same path. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't go to a place because of an assistant. Because at the end of the day, the head coach has the end-all, say-all. It's the way it is, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got to make sure the head coach, you are on board with the head coach. I've talked to so many former wrestlers that have wrestled at other places that, you know, they love the assistant. But the head coach, you know, they just didn't see eye to eye. And they did not even come close to achieving their potential, and it's sad because of, you know, just because of that one person. You got to do your homework in that regard.
Well, to parlay on that a little bit, we noticed you got a little bit of a pipeline coming from St. Michael Albertville, and you know, I got a feeling these parents are talking to each other, and you know, I mean, because what do we got? Wyatt Lidberg coming there next year, and who's the guy with the big arms at 197 pounders? Is it Anderson?
Yeah, Gabe Anderson. Yep.
Anderson, right? You had Donnie Luehr before that too, didn't you?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. So it's pretty good advice there.
Yeah. What, you know, if you've got, clearly when you get kind of a pipeline of wrestlers from a school like that, things must be going good. You know, the parents talk to each other. They've known each other since youth wrestling, a lot of these guys, and good friends with parents. And if they say, well, how's your son like it up there, and they enjoy it, then they're more likely to think it'd be a good fit for, you know, for their kid. Conversely, maybe someone, you know, doesn't mesh, and they say, I don't know, Coach Aho makes me work too hard or whatever. Right? That's great advice, getting reaching out to other parents of a program.
Yeah. Well, I just about kind of, you answer all our questions and then some. How about in closing, we kind of give us a, share with our listeners a sales pitch. Just, you know, take a minute or whatever to talk a little, just give us a little bit of a sales pitch about University of Mary.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Man, it's a, well, like I said, I'm going into my seventh or going into my eighth year next year. Jeez. As far as just about the university in itself, I mean, and I kind of make this claim, and I'm waiting for somebody to dispute it. As far as just our atmosphere that we create at the Division II level, I truly don't think there's anybody that has a better wrestling atmosphere than we do. And, you know, there, not this last season, two seasons ago, we averaged over 927 people at every home duel. There was multiple home duels, obviously, that we had that were over 1,000 people. And for a Division II program to have that kind of attendance and atmosphere has been pretty remarkable. And it's a testament to the guys, the way they wrestle, their work ethic. As far as us building a team culture of guys that, you know, want to win and do things the right way. We have just such amazing thing going on right now. And it's so attractive. It's like so positive feeling when you walk into our program or around our guys, you know, the atmosphere that they protrude and they just want to be good. And it's just one of those feelings that when you can't just, it's motivating. And these guys just constantly show up every single day. They put a smile on their face. They work hard. You know, we have a saying that we can either live our lives either out of gratitude or resentment. There is no middle ground. And every guy in our program has to remember that. And that's constantly our saying, because no matter what, you know, not everything goes well every single day. There's going to be bad days. There's going to be good days. And we got to make sure that we're grateful for what we're given and what we have in front of us and don't squander the opportunities. And so that's kind of basically just our feel of our program. But then on top of that, the University of Mary has been unbelievable in supporting us. Like I said, when I took over the program in the June of 2013, the cupboards were pretty bare and we had some pretty good individuals, but the wrestling alumni have been amazing, and the administration has been amazing, and they've supported us. We would not be where we are right now without them, and we would not be where we are without the alumni and or community, because you know we get, like I said, 1,000 people out on a Sunday afternoon for our home duels. Man, it is so much fun. I mean, we have a smaller gym, which helps. It's kind of probably like the West Gym at UNI, as yeah. far as that kind of feel. The fans are right on top of you. And, you know, we have mat side seats where we have people that, sit right there. And I mean, it's literally the guys go off the mat and they're high-fiving, you know, sponsors and fans and boosters. I mean, and we have a student section where we put, 40 student sections. So we have like football players and other sports teams in there sitting there razzing the other team where they're literally, 5 feet from the opposing team. I mean, it's quite the experience where I never dreamed that we'd be able to create this kind of atmosphere at the Division II level. I really didn't. And it's the guys, other student athletes can't wait until we wrestle at home just to go through that experience, because they're not able to find that any other sports teams, besides basketball where, people get jacked up for a dunk here and there, but it's just, especially when we have Minot State, who's our big rival that comes down, man, it is unbelievable. And it's just one of those things. It's so energetic and the guys, they bring the energy in it, and that's what's really fun. And in a sense, I'm talking a lot about just our energy and our culture. But that's what really sells our program, is our guys believing in what we're doing and what we're doing at a high level. And they really, truly believe we're going to be competing for a national title here in the near future. And as long as we can keep that optimism high and the desire to be there, man, I truly believe we are going to be there in the next few years.
It sounds awesome. It sounds like a great environment.
Yeah.
Great place to compete.
I love how colleges, it feels like just over the last few years, it's been a little more common to kind of encourage that mat side seating and a little rowdier environment. Of course, respectful, but get close and loud. And yeah, that's awfully fun.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you this. I mean, like when I wrestled at NDSU and, we were, 3 years we were competing at the Division I level in the postseason anyway. But it was like, shoot, it was like cricket sometimes when we're wrestling. I was like, this is like so boring. Like I couldn't, I, I and I'm like, And granted, we probably should have been better, but it's like one of those things that where on earth are the fans? Like, why this was not in anywhere close to what I anticipated it being. And so now, like, when the guys, our best asset, when we bring recruits to a home duel, my goodness, they're like, hey, they're, the parents are like, this is unbelievable. We're coming. it's that's what's really cool, because our guys bring the energy. And I got to credit Jim Makovsky, the head coach at Minnesota State Mankato, for this. And he always said this analogy, you know, for a concert, does the band jack the crowd up, or does the crowd jack the band up?
Excellent question. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. I bring that up to my guys all the time. And I said, hey, look, fellas, you know, when you show up to compete, you better bring your A game no matter what. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares how bad you're feeling, how bad you cut your weight. You better show up and compete, because those guys in town are coming out here to watch you. And I don't know if you guys have been watching the Michael Jordan The Last Dance documentary on Hulu or whatever. Have you guys seen that by chance?
I've started it.
Yeah, started it.
It is unbelievable. I'm not a big basketball guy, quite frankly. I think a lot of basketball players are, you know, too soft to whatever. But anyway, I was a huge fan of Michael Jordan, just because of my dad, even though he's been, you know, he never played basketball, but we just appreciate, you know, commitment and work ethic and winning and that passion, right? And so Michael Jordan, in that regard, like in some of those segments, I don't want to ruin the documentary for you guys, but it was just, he makes a point that you don't know who's coming to watch you for the first time. And when you step out on that mat, you got to perform. You got to perform at your best, because somebody might be coming there to watch what wrestling's all about. And so if you only have 7 minutes to show what good wrestling is like, what are you going to do? You might as well go out there and let her fly. That's what I always tell my guys. Like, go out there and let her fly. Don't hold back whatsoever. I mean, I want them to put on a show. I want them to go and wrestle hard. And because people appreciate good, hard wrestling, no matter what. People, it doesn't matter if anybody knows what wrestling is or not, but they know when people are trying and working hard. You can see effort, as much as we can't quote unquote like grade effort, but you can see it.
Right.
Yeah, totally. That explains why you're getting 1,000 people to the gym on Sundays up there.
That's awesome.
So, we just like to be around positive energy I promote the guys to be who they are and to be themselves. I'm not trying to change anybody when they come here. I want them to be who they are. They're successful at what they're doing. And we just try to make what they do better. That's it, you know? And when they go out on the mat, my number one goal for every single person that walks off the mat, just make that other guy remember you. Simple, very simple. Did you make that guy remember you? That's the only question I always ask the guys.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's perfect. And you know what? That's a perfect way to kind of wrap this up is just making those guys remember, you know, asking that wrestler if they made that guy remember him. I mean, I tell you what, Coach, I just can't thank you enough for sitting down with us and taking the time to do this interview. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I appreciate you guys asking me, and Al, tell Jen that I appreciate her recommending me. That's an honor. I mean, I'm kind of blushing that she recommended me to be on here. That's awesome.
Yeah, that'll be probably a story for another episode, or I've become a producer for our show lately. So,
all right. Well, yeah. Thanks for joining us, Coach, and we will catch up again soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Well, another great podcast. Great podcast. Time for the end of show wrap. Minnesota Wrestling representing.
Alan Josh is the podcast show. Just two guys that's in the know. Bringing the wrestling news episodes. You can sit and listen or hear on the go. Voices smooth. Podcast is free. Many platforms for downloading. Minnesota Wrestling, Alvin, Josh Raymond, report the scene. High school, college, women, youth. Minnesota Wrestling is for you. Live from the kitchen, I'm your studio too. Can't wait for the next one. Stay tuned.